All right, good morning. I will go ahead and call us to order for our regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, March 10th. It is also our budget hearing, and I'll ask if the audience would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of minutes from March 3rd.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any corrections, additions, or comments? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Minutes pass. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Personnel action pass. Consideration of claims.
Move approval.
Second.
Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Claims pass. Consent agenda. Please add utility permit 1551. And then I'd like to pull item number one on the consent agenda just for us to acknowledge on its own.
Okay. Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
Motion is second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. Item number one is the minutes from our Story County Compensation Board, which is the board that statutorily meets to determine raises for elected officials. There is currently legislation. I think it made it through the funnel, but in any case, it was at least discussed down in Des Moines this year, making sure that they want to make sure that what the compensation board discusses and what's happening with elected officials is noted readily and visibly for the public. That's what this document does, and it's the reason I want to pull it out. At the end of the day, what's recommended from the compensation committee is a 2.25% increase for all elected officials in Story County. That mirrors the 2.25% increase that we have built into the budget that we'll be discussing later as part of the public hearing. Anything you guys want to add?
No.
I just simply wanted to pull this out and have it stand on its own. If you don't have anything to add, I'd take
move approval for the acknowledgement of the Story County Compensation Board minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. That takes us down to public hearing items. Third and final consideration of Ordinance 236. Charlie DeSalle, take us through it.
Very quick. I'll just add that we have received no further public comment, and if this is approved on third consideration, we will get this published next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday the 19th. Effective date would be March 20th, Friday, March 20th. Any questions?
The only thing we changed was ability to raise chickens.
Yep, and we still have to get that ironed out and take back to our commission hopefully in the next couple months, and we'll be back with the board and some recommendations there.
Well, I heard last night that somebody was interested in doing something about turtles, and we didn't know whether that would come under your jurisdiction or not at the Conservation Board. So we thought we'd probably give you something else to deal with, you know, chickens, then turtles. So that sounds
chickens,
appropriate.
Turtles. Anything else I should add to that list, let me know.
Okay.
Any questions for Charlie? All right. In that case, I will open the public hearing on consideration of Ordinance 236 and ask if there's anyone who'd like to speak to this. Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board for action.
I'll move approval of Ordinance 236 on the final reading.
Second.
Any further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Ordinance 236 passes. All right, next, introductions of elected officials. I see County Attorney Stephen Holmes here with us. I see Auditor Lucy Martin. I see Recorder Stacy Herridge. Anybody hiding in the back that I'm missing?
Not of our elected.
Those are the elected officials. Department heads, let's see, we just heard from Planning and Development Director Charlie DeSalle. We've got Margaret James from Public Health, Mike Cox from Conservation, Cal Pearson in Facilities, Wayne Schrickerath, who's our assessor. Who's hiding back there?
Darren Moon.
Darren Moon, engineer. Deb Shildroff,
right,
who is currently community services and assuming a new position as director of external operations on July 1st.
Alyssa's back there, too.
That's Alyssa Wignall, director of HR. Anybody else? That pretty much names there. Anybody who hasn't been introduced yet? Okay. That takes care of that. Budget information, Lisa Markley, extraordinaire.
Okay. Which side do I want here? Does it matter? Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the public hearing for the FY16 proposed budget. The proposed budget was published in all three newspapers on 2/26 as required by law. The budget you adopt today cannot be higher than published, but it can be lowered at this public hearing. There are handouts available for anybody that didn't get them. With some of these charts, along with the proposed FY16 salaries of department heads and elected officials, which includes, as Rick just said, a 2.25% increase for all across the board. The compensation board recommendation was 2.25. Story County saw a slight increase in valuations this year. For countywide, we had an increase of 4.3%, and for rural, we had an increase of 5.2%. The rollback is the amount of the amount of the value that the property is taxed on. So if you own a residential home assessed at $100,000, the taxable value for the upcoming year will be $55,734. For ag property assessed at $100,000, the taxable value will be $44,700. Senate File 295 calls for rollback of commercial and industrial and backfill from the state. So we're at 90% this year rollback.
And that's a reduction from 95.
Correct. This is a visual of the assessments that we're using. As you can see, all but 3% of the assessed value is rolled back. In putting together the budget this year, department work sessions were held in early January. The staffing requests, there was one new position approved in this budget, and it's for the attorney's office. Restructure was presented so that we have a director of external operations and county services and a director of internal operations and human resources. As I said, the across-the-board salary adjustments of 2.25 were built in as we worked through the budget. The capital improvement plan was also approved at the March of 2015 Board of Supervisors meeting. We were working through still the preparation and the impact of the transition funding of the Community Life Program. Regionalization and mental health services made it necessary for the county to find another source of funding for CLP for the current budget year. Optime Life Services has proposed taking over these services as of 5/1/15. And departments continued the goal of budgeting as close to actuals as possible. The way Story County has handled insurance since 1989 doesn't meet affordability requirements of the Affordable Care Act. Bids for insurance went out, employee surveys were done, and union talks began. By changing the way benefits are provided, the Medicare, Social Security, and IPRS taxability changes. It lowers the county contribution for insurance increases, and unlike Flex, insurance can be paid from the supplemental funds. So in this year, in this budget, we are budgeting for insurance coverage of, at this point in time, we're looking at 90% single plan, 80% family plan, and doing a small flexible benefit for vision, dental, and life and disability. The net impact to the county budget was a little over $1.1 million more. We continued our economic development goals of funding for urban renewal, small communities, home-based Iowa, and a county development plan. And we were working on the final transition of CLP to a private provider. Our unemployment dollar impact is going to be substantial this year, and we assume, and building and assets, computers, et cetera, are being dealt with. The different funds that the county can levy for, we talk a lot about what our options are. Countywide means every taxpayer in the county pays this. The code says that the limit is $3.50 per $1,000 of taxable value. That is where most of our funding is from in the county. Supplemental, in order to access the supplemental levy, you must be at the max in the general fund. Supplemental levy is increasing this year because of the health insurance provided differently, the purchase of voting equipment, and unemployment insurance needs. The code also gives us some other options, and I've listed some of them there that we use. The County Services, or MHDD Fund for Story County, while the regionalization has changed the way these dollars are provided, while the regionalization has changed this, it has not changed the maximum levy for our county, and that is $3,066,575. The financial policy for our region requires that all 10 counties levy the max, so we are levying the max again. The debt service levy is also on countywide. It's $1,000 per taxable value. We have two secondary road bonds that we are still paying off. Those are done in 2019. And the rural services basic levy limit is $3.95. That is only on the rural properties in the county. Our budget for FY16 for revenues, $39,817,000. 61% of those dollars are coming from property taxes. 23% are for intergovernmental, which would include things like road use tax, state replacement taxes, commercial, industrial, state, federal grants. 5% comes from local option sales tax. 7% comes from fees from services. And 2% is coming from TIF revenues and interest in rentals.
And I'm sorry if it's okay if I go ahead and stop you there. That does not include the estimation for the 10-cent fuel tax increase that we're going to start to realize in this fiscal year.
Correct. That was not...
not part of our budget process, right? And we estimate that that is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000.
Right.
Is that right, Darren?
Not out of this fiscal.
Next year.
I'm talking for this next fiscal year.
FY16.
Yeah, just some unknowns, and all I wanted to do was point out that we've got a revenue number here that's going to be a little low because we didn't build this budget knowing that the 10-cent fuel tax was going to pass.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. This chart shows where our expenses are in the FY16 budget. We budgeted $40,725,000 worth of expenditures. Of that, 27% is public safety / legal services. It includes the services of the sheriff and the attorney mainly. 15% is for roads and transportation, which is the secondary roads department. 14% for mental health, and that includes the mental health department. 14% of this budget is classified as administration. There's a lot of things that fall under administration, including facilities management for all the buildings, information technology, the Board of Supervisors budget, county liability insurance, and the auditor and the treasurer's management side of services. 9% of our budget is county environment and education, and it funds conservation, animal control, planning and development, IRVM, and the county libraries. 8% of this year's expenditures are for capital projects, which includes road construction, TIF projects, and CIP projects. 6% represents health and social services, which will include environmental health, community services, VA, juvenile court, the DHS local office, and many of the asset, in, which is analysis of social services evaluation team services. 4% is for governmental services, including the recorder, the auditor's election side, the treasurer's motor vehicle services. And 3% of our overall expenditures are for bonded debt service payments. I put together a chart of the expenses by fund. General and supplemental, as the primary operating funds, have the largest overall expenses, and the majority of the revenues come in September and March with tax collections. Our financial policy is to budget about a 25% ending fund balance, and this proposed budget reflects 24%, so we're pretty close. The regionalization of mental health has impacted the mental health fund and the supplemental fund, obviously, as you can see from this. The rural and secondary roads funds are fairly steady, so we can budget closer to a 15% ending fund balance, as those funds have monthly revenues, such as local option sales tax and the road use tax funds. This graph shows the total county budget as originally certified for the last 7 years. The dark blue shows the budgeted expenditures, and the red is the budgeted revenues. For FY16 budget, the expenses are 9.4% higher than the FY15 adopted budget, and the revenues are 3.5% higher than the FY15.
Let's see if we can't take care of that here in just a minute there, Lisa.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Really. This chart gives you an visual of the distribution of dollars by taxing authority. We'll take a look on the following slide at an individual tax statement and where the dollars go, but this gives a snapshot of the overall dollars generated by taxing authority. Schools overall get about 46% of our dollars, the cities about 26%, and the county about 18%. Sorry. So I picked Ballard School District and the city of Huxley this year as my comparisons. When you come in and pay your taxes to the treasurer's office, the breakdown of how these dollars are distributed is represented here. This is based on last year's levy rates for the entities, other entities, as their budgets don't get certified in our office until 3/16, except for schools, which get certified to the auditor on 4/15. So if you have a home assessed at $100,000, the taxable value, as I said, would be $55,734. Your annual taxes, if you lived in the city of Huxley, would be $2,364. Of that, the school, Ballard in this example, would receive 54% of the dollars. The city of Huxley would get 28%. The county would get 13%. The area school, which is DMAC, would get 2%. And the other in this example includes Ag Extension, the county assessor, and the Story County Hospital, and that would be about 3%. If you live in rural Story County, once again in the Ballard School District, this is a grant township I used as an example here. The pie would look like this. The total taxes would be $1,916. The school would get 67%, the county would be 32%, township about 2%, area school again 2%, and the other about 3%. I will entertain questions, comments.
Yeah, let's just start the conversation on getting this thing to balanced. And I think I would start with this. this is the fifth time the three of us have sat down together to work through a budget. And for me, anyway, a guy who kind of likes as much certainty as possible when we're going through these kind of things, this has been the hardest budget that we've had to deal with. We've got, even sitting here today, we've got so much uncertainty, so many numbers that we just budgeted to, kind of in a worst-case scenario kind of mentality, because we've still got so many unknowns, and I'm referring specifically to the health benefits when I say that. But we had a lot out there that we didn't know. One of the areas that I'm interested in us discussing as we get to the public hearing and then beyond for this group to make the final decision is what we're doing with our mental health transfers to the region. What number do we have built in transferring from our mental health fund to the regional mental health fund?
$3 million.
We have $3 million built in. And, Lisa, as I understand it, that was just kind of an amount that got our ending fund balance locally where we thought it was about right. And it was it's a number that is just not really based on anything solid. It's just a number.
What I based it on basically was what we're assuming we're going to send this year, which we just – did the calculations recently within the last, 3 months or 3 weeks of what that dollar amount was going to be, because it's based, what we're going to send the region is based on last year's FY16 ending fund balance with FY17 expenditures. And so right now is when we got our calculations, formula for what we were going to send. So I estimated about 3.1 for the FY15
right.
year, which we started this budget with $100,000. The FY15 budget with $100,000.
Exactly.
Now it's 3.1.
And it's going to be reality. We're going to send what the region tells us to send.
Right. Yeah.
And so for me, it's a matter of plugging in a reasonable number in there. And I think it's a little less than the $3 million. I think it's about $2 million that I'd like to see us plug in there. And then we see where the calculations end up. At the end of the day, those dollars are all, 100% of them, are controlled by the region anyway. But this is our budget, and budgets do matter.
Lisa and Deb is here, too, and maybe the question that comes to mind is the estimated expenditures, the way the dollars flow in the region, we don't know exactly the total amount yet that we're going to have to submit at a later time. It could be less than that, but isn't it kind of now based on expenditures that is sustained for services? Do we have any way of kind of controlling the end result of the total dollar amount that might need to be expended under the guise of the region the way it's set up now?
Well, we've changed the formula in which the dollars will be sent to the region. Our very first year as a region, we just looked at ending fund balance, Now we're incorporating beginning fund balance, proposed expenditures, proposed revenues, and then estimating budgets or expenditures. So it's looking a little bit different as we leave fiscal year 15 and move into fiscal year 16. The portion of the regional budget that we will keep locally and pay out locally are those claims that are related to service coordination, administration, and the mental health advocate.
Okay.
All other service expenses will be coming out of the regional pool come July 1st, which sits with Madison County. And so the governing board approved the fiscal year 16 regional budget at their January meeting, knowing that we're probably going to have some changes in our revenues because of what the legislature does or what they don't do. We're not expecting equalization funds next year, so that boils it down to primarily our levied dollars. And then whatever our ending fund balance will be going forward. We will have a better idea the middle of fiscal year 16 of the amount that we will send to the region by June 30th of 16.
Right.
One of the things I think that the region, the My interpretation is that they just assume we're all going to amend our budgets when we know what those dollars are.
Right.
Which we are. I mean,
we are. Well, you said it. This year that we're in right now, we budgeted $100,000 and we're sending them $3
million. Right.
I mean, so you could make the case that it's reasonable to budget $100,000 again. I'm not suggesting that we do that. I'm suggesting that we budget a number that's more based in reality. But I think $2 million gets us to that reality. It also balances our budget. I mean, it does some good things. And again, I want to go back to, I mean, we have a budget here that's, as I believe, as good as we can do based on what we know. But we've got a lot of unknowns here. And so I believe that when you have a lot of unknowns, at least starting from balanced is a good place to start, and then you figure it out as you go.
Well, we're going to send the region what we have to send them.
Exactly.
And if we can start off with a more conservative number and in the process balance the budget, which I don't think anybody's disagreeing that that's not a good thing, I think it's reasonable to take that approach.
All right, I just wanted to bring that up before we get to the public hearing in case there's anybody who would like to weigh in on that. Is there anything else that you guys would like to bring up before we go to the public hearing?
Is there any changes in mental health advocate legislation that would affect any of our – I mean, there's some proposed legislation that will affect
There's a bill right now, and it made it through the first funnel that would make the mental health advocates become county employees – and would be appointed by the county boards of supervisors. So there would be some, if that legislation does pass and go into effect, I would assume that goes into effect July 1st, then we would have to look at what level of benefits we would provide to our advocate. We've been paying the salary and the FICA and the IPERS, so that wouldn't be anything new. But those benefit costs would be...
And it's about a $30,000 line item when it's all said and done right now.
Is it reasonable to think maybe some point down the road that the region would determine a number of advocates that are appropriate for the region?
I think this is the first step in that direction. I think we just have to take it step by step, and I think then the region would have to look. It's a cost. It's a mental health-related cost. So I think it would be something the region would eventually take a look at and maybe eventually look at assuming as an employee of the region as we move forward.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That was my question.
Well, all right. In that case, we will go ahead and open the public hearing, and let me just say how we're going to do this. Anybody who wishes to speak, please come up, sit in one of the chairs, speak into the microphone, give your name and address, and then if we have multiple people who wish to speak, we'll try to get through everybody before we go back to somebody for the second time. So with that, I will open the public hearing and ask if there's anybody who would like to address the board regarding the budget. Really? Nobody?
Oh, no.
Hi there.
Right.
How are you?
Microphone there.
You lost your partner. She was coughing.
I know. I'm glad I was the backup, I guess. Just know that the libraries love you.
Oh, thank you. Tell your friends.
And I do have a question because we went through our special meeting.
Give your name again.
Oh, I'm sorry. PJ McBride, librarian, Zurien, Iowa.
Okay.
Only important thing.
And we increased what we were able to fund to the library this year.
Okay, so we went with that discussion that we had. I mean, you all have all the information that we all came up with, and you've acted on it, and that's a part of what's going on here.
Yeah, so two prongs. One, we increased our total dollar contribution to the libraries, but two, the libraries took upon themselves to adopt a new funding distribution model, which actually reduces a little bit what the larger libraries get and increases what the smaller libraries get.
Which, to their grace, they accepted.
Right.
They did not hold up our process.
Right.
Because they know eventually, both of them, because they're new buildings, statistically, all of their stuff will bump up in the next year anyway. So they were all gracious enough to go with it.
Great.
Right.
That's what
but
I wanted to know.
Absolutely. We did exactly what we talked about when we had our meeting.
Meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Outstanding. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to address the board? Any questions? Farm Bureau wish to weigh in? Eric?
We're good.
All right.
Let's write that down.
Absolutely. See you, PJ.
Thank you.
All right. If there is nobody else who wishes to address the board, last chance. I'm closing the public hearing. Discussion from the board on proposed budget.
Well, Mr. Sanders, I would like to go back to the earlier discussion that you raised in terms of making some adjustments, looking at the mental health expenditure and so forth. I appreciated the opportunity to visit with Lisa a little bit before the meeting and also with Deb to make sure that I was fully aware of how this might play out, and I was very comfortable with that. However, what I am concerned about is as we look at our options and which one of them obviously would be, if we want to consider, would be to lower the expenditures based upon that discussion. My question would be is, do we have to have the actual dollar amount that we're lowering it to as part of the record? How would that be factored in if that's the decision that we would want to make just from the standpoint of protocol?
You can lower the you can lower the 10 service areas, any of the 10 service areas expenditures in this public hearing, or you can lower the tax askings, or both, whichever. What Rick is talking about in his conversation is lowering the overall expenditures.
Right.
And so specifically from the mental health.
Right.
Right.
From the mental health line item, which currently is $5,711,129, and all I'm talking about is just a straight $1 million decrease there, so it would go to $4,711,129. Lisa, am I right? I'm just looking at the mental health line.
Yeah, I had the numbers I'd given you was a $1.5 million lowering to 4.2.
Right. Okay. And I'm fine with that. Like I said, we are gonna send what we need
to
send.
Now, the reason for my question, Mr. Sanders, was as I look at the options when we get to that, the question for some reason didn't necessarily seem like it addressed exactly that portion. But it's probably encompassed in the overall language of that. But I was just wanting to make sure we would be clear if that's the option we choose.
Yeah.
Because I guess what I'm saying is I'm based on the earlier discussion, I'm comfortable with us trying to make that adjustment, knowing that we're going to spend those dollars at some point once it's determined that that may be the actual expenditure of the mental health dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be careful about putting a specific dollar amount.
And that's why I'm asking.
If we go to the second second option. Am I right?
Ultimately, we've got to have a specific dollar amount.
We've got to have something. And that's what my question basically is.
The lower expenditures, how much are we going to lower them by?
Yeah, right.
$1 million.
And I'm suggesting one spot.
Right.
And I'm fine with the 1.5 that Lisa has prepared and already given us kind of a second option if we decide to go that route, since her and I had talked about this rather extensively over the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really up to you guys. I know that I feel pretty strongly, especially with a budget that, you know, we're getting ready to talk. As soon as we finish this part of our meeting today, we're going to talk about health insurance again. We've got a lot of unknowns in this budget, and I'd like to give us as much flexibility as possible in dealing with some of those unknowns. And to me, that means starting with a balanced budget.
I have this really bad feeling that July 2nd, I'm going to be in here wanting to amend the budget.
Yeah,
already.
I mean, it could easily, we could easily see an early amendment this year.
So the question that I would be comfortable with, Lisa, as far as you, is I'm looking at the second option, which is to lower the expenditure. So the wording as listed here would be suffice if that would be the decision that we would take. As a motion.
Yeah, you can you can add lower expenditures in service area, in the mental health service area if you want to. If
okay.
That makes you feel better.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Right. Okay, I'm going to take a stab.
Take a stab at it, Paul.
I'm going to move for approval resolution 1558, adopting the FY16 budget and certified taxes as lowered by an amount of $1 million, or is it 1.5?
Whichever you want to do. You make
Let's do $1 million out of the mental health line item, which includes a recommendation from the Compensation Board for elected official salaries, and assign an amount in the ending rural fund as unallocated local option tax, 40% capital projects fund as assigned for the Justice Center remodel, and to direct the auditor to properly certify and file the budget and certificate of taxes.
I will second the motion.
And I just want to make sure we're clear. Right. This is not a reduction on the revenue side. This
right.
is not
right.
a reduction in tax askings. It's
right.
a reduction on the expenditure side
right.
of $1 million coming out of the mental health line item, and specifically payment to the region.
Right.
Is that line item that we're talking about this coming out of?
Correct.
And I just want to make sure we're all clear. And Lisa, you, if we're missing something, make sure that we got it all clear.
That, okay. that was my intent in the
right.
motion.
All right. Discussion of that.
Yeah. No, I like I say, my questions were answered earlier, and I appreciated the opportunity to get some clarity. And Deb and I had an opportunity to discuss it from the region's point of view, and so I feel comfortable that this is a good start for us, and we'll move forward and go ahead.
Yep. Any other questions or comments on the budget? I just want to say to Lisa Markley and Lucy Martin both, thank you so much. This, Lisa, I don't know if this is one of the hardest ones you've ever been part of. I know it's the hardest one that since I've been around that we've tried to put together. Your knowledge of the numbers, your willingness to dig in and find creative solutions is a real asset to Story County, and I thank you. And the other one is I want to thank all our elected officials and department heads. Once again, everybody
yep.
came to the table and really, really worked hard to help us put together a really sound budget. We didn't always end up seeing eye to eye with everybody, but there was no question that every single person associated with building this budget came to the table trying their best to get us in as good a position as possible. And I just want to express on behalf of me and the board our appreciation to all of you for your efforts in helping us put this together. Anything to add?
No, I just echo your comments.
Okay.
Yep.
Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Resolution 1558, reducing expenditures in the proposed budget, passes. Lisa, do you need anything else from us in order to be able to take this?
Nope, we'll take care of it.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Great
you.
Work.
Thank you. Good job.
Additional items, discussion and consideration of insurance benefits for non-union employees. Alyssa Wignall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. A few weeks ago, we had a discussion. There was no consideration, nothing about the employee, the non-union employee benefits. So what I have here is I have our discussion last time asked to go and put together a plan that has three different options and then employer paid at the 80, 85, and 90%. You'll notice that this does not talk about the carrier on any of these documents. What I'm bringing forward for you today for consideration is to consider a concept so that we can then come back with, we can go out and get employee feedback on this, see whether the plan design that we have in here is going to work, and then come back for final approval in a few weeks.
Okay.
Sounds great. Just a clarification for me, the page that you put on our in our packet shows dollar amounts. Those dollar amounts are associated with the current plan we have.
Correct.
Not any other bids we might receive.
Correct. They are the highest premiums that we have through the they're through the ISAC plan, and they're July 1st renewal rates. We do have other bids. that we'll take into consideration. But these, for budgeting purposes and for putting this together, we use the higher premiums just so we, you know, you're approving the concept. The monthly employee contributions could be less based on where the board goes and which provider, which carrier you actually choose.
Okay.
And this board will choose which carrier.
Correct.
Whether we stay with where we are or take any other bids. But what we're talking about today is making sure that we have solid plans, because we're going to try to compare apples to apples from provider to provider.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
Questions for Alyssa?
Not at this time.
The premium is going to depend on the amount of eligible employees that we have. Correct.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
ISAC does not have a participation.
Right.
The United Healthcare does not have. They quoted at a rate which does not base on participation for the first year. Yep.
All right.
And I don't know if it's appropriate at this time. It may be appropriate later when we get to selection of a provider. But I would like to say that. You know, for many years, well, several years now, the ISAC plan has served Story County well from my standpoint, based on the fact that particularly within the last year, we ended up paying more in terms of our claims was actually higher than the amount of premiums that was paid in, and being a part of a pool, you're not dropped from the carrier for that, but we did lose discount points. And I sometimes look at longevity as being important factors. I know we have a person sitting in the room who has a history in background in insurance, and sometimes when you go out for bids and so forth, you know, companies oftentimes may give you a pretty good bid or two to get your business. But I hope that when we take a look at comparisons, that there's going to be a considerable cost savings and so forth, because I would be a little uncomfortable just switching if we were very close. And that's just a personal view. And I would have to be upfront and disclaim, since I serve on the ISAC Board of Directors, I have more of a personal background of the policies and the plans and et cetera. But yet I know that you and Rick and several others have done just a marvelous job in looking at the whole nuances of where we are in our insurance plan, and I'm going to be very comfortable that we're going to do our due diligence and have something. I'll be interested in seeing where our survey comes back in terms of what our employees are taking a look at in terms of cost benefit. But I do believe that based on history, that if we had more participation from employees, then a year from now or two, you would see a decline in premium rate, where right now you're not getting any benefits, any what I call discounted points. So I just throw that out because that's my comfort level, and I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, speak in that behalf. That's not saying that I'm not going to be willing to look at another provider. But I do have a history of working with the Iowa Association of Counties, and I do know there are pluses and minuses when we start searching the insurance market. But I wanted to thank you personally, because I think that what you have done, and Rick and the board, the communication that we've tried to provide for our employees, I think that we have done a yeoman's job in trying to be upfront and giving them the best case scenarios to take a look at. And I think what is being proposed here is a vastly improved option, and hopefully each individual employee will take a real close look at their insurance coverage currently, what they have now, and then what they might want to consider as the county is offering, and make an intelligent decision as we move forward.
So I think it's well said, Wayne, and I would just underscore, I don't have the history with the ISAC Wellmark plan that you have, but I'll say this, as an employer, their performance has been exemplary. I mean, they really, really take care of our employees. I think everything you just said is right on the money. We just owe it to everybody to do our due diligence and see what the best option is.
Absolutely.
The other thing I want to point out is if this is approved, along with the possibility of the flex plan that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, what it does is for our employees who take insurance, either currently or ultimately take insurance, it means that instead of receiving a $6,900 benefit from the county, and that $6,900 regardless of what plan you take, now it's going to be somewhere between $10,000 and $19,000 benefit, depending on what level you take, including the flex benefits. I mean, it is substantially more benefit for those who take the county's health insurance than they're currently getting.
Right.
These are all discussions that we're going to continue to have until we select a plan and a carrier. There's going to be a time that it's going to be difficult for all employees to adjust to this, and the board recognizes that. But I think in the long run, we're going to end up offering a better benefit to our employees. You've told me yourself that our benefit plan has cost us good potential employees because they can't afford to work here if they need the family mm-hmm. if they need the family insurance. So I think once this all shakes out and we're down the road a ways this is going to be a good benefit by anybody's standard is what we're offering here. So.
Yeah, change is hard. I think you're right on the money. Change is hard, and the reality is the budget that we just approved has an additional $1.1 million in health benefit costs, and that's at a time that we're losing 70-ish full-time employees. So not we're losing the number of staff that we're providing the benefit to, but it's still going up a maximum of $1.1 million. I expected the real number to be less than that once everything shakes out. But the reality is it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million more that we're putting into employee benefits. And I'm with you, Paul. I think ultimately it's going to be a good thing not only for our employees. I think it's going to be a good thing for Story County and the people of Story County because it provides a reliable, solid benefit to draw the best employees possible to get the best service possible. Anything further for Alyssa? All right. So we are discussing and considering the conceptual plan here as presented.
Minus the premium rates.
Minus the premium rates are for example only because we don't know where that's going to end up. This would be the high end of the premium rates.
Right.
I would move approval of the concept of the plan that was presented.
Second.
Not including the premiums.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Concept passes. Next item is discussion and consideration of updated flex benefit plan policy, which would go out to 7-day review if it passes. Mm-hmm. And this goes hand in hand with what we just discussed.
Correct. Our current flex benefit plan policy, if you pull the current policy, it doesn't look much different than this. The difference is we pulled the health insurance out of this, since you are doing a traditional health insurance plan. So we pulled that out and then took all the language out of providing credible coverage to get the flexible benefit in cash. So it has everything updated, says who is eligible, and then under the benefit options, it's the same except it excludes the health insurance.
Okay.
So as opposed to the $575 that we're currently offering, the only flex benefit, the only cash option would be if you decide that you don't want the dental and the vision.
Correct. And that would be about $150 a month.
So that's
after the mandatories come out. It depends on your salary and what your premiums are for your life and disability.
Okay.
But right around, those are mandatory, just like they are now. So instead of technically the 550, it'd be 150. And that 150 would cover family, dental, and vision if an employee would wish to have that. I don't have the dental premiums in yet from principal. They should be coming in soon.
But when I look at the examples, the contribution examples that we just passed in the conceptual plan, the reality is if somebody chose not to take dental and vision, they can get roughly 100% of their individual health insurance paid for by Story County.
Correct.
And almost and family.
Yeah.
Pretty
right.
close.
Right.
The family.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the information then that will go out to employees now as part of the survey will be the earlier pages that's shown here with the breakdowns of the three plans in addition to the flexible benefit policy if adopted for a seven-day review. Is that correct?
Correct. There are two different things. This is a policy. And
right.
That they'd probably, yeah. They, right. they would get to comment on the plans.
Right.
And then they can comment on this concept
right.
also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I would move approval of the updated flex benefit plan pending the seven-day review.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Two.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Flexible benefit policy review passes pending seven-day review. We'll see you in 7 days.
It'll actually be 2 weeks.
It'll be 2 weeks because
yep.
you are going.
I'm gone.
Outstanding.
So next Tuesday we won't come back. We'll give employees more than the 7 days to comment
okay.
in case they're out this week or next week. Yep.
Outstanding. Thanks,
Thank
Alyssa.
You. Thanks, Alyssa.
No agency reports, no departmental reports, no other reports, liaison assignments, and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
I'll just pass. I just had a short, brief phone conversation with Deb yesterday. Nothing really earth-shaking there to report. I attended the Conservation Board meeting last night, an excellent board meeting as usual. I would be remiss if I didn't say how impressed I am with the current board members and their due diligence. They went through and looked at board bylaws, rules and regulations, safety and health management policies, in addition to several other things, and with a fine-tooth comb, and it was just a very encouraging dialogue, and I think that to the citizens of Story County, if they've never been to a Conservation Board meeting, I think they really don't know what an outstanding group of board members we have, and the leadership of Mike Cox and Jolene and staff is really to be commended. I can't say enough kudos about how outstanding, I think, our conservation department and is for the service of Story County residents.
Yeah, well, I think it's really, really nice that you point that out. I believe that we have the finest conservation board in the state of Iowa. I mean, it is. I just enjoy working with them, and I know that we have the finest director of conservation anywhere in the state of Iowa, and maybe anywhere.
I'll echo that, but Mike, yep. Let's get that lake open. We've been waiting long enough.
No pressure.
Paul, anything?
No.
I'm going to pass. Public Forum 2, this is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. We're not taking any action because we can't, but we might in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? Announcements from the supervisors. Wayne.
Just want to announce tomorrow is County Day at the Capitol. A lot of departments and elected officials from around the state will be there to talk about what's happening in county government. The ISAC Spring School is on Thursday and Friday. We've got a great group of speakers and presenters. Our own Keith Morgan will be part of a panel also speaking on Thursday about the role of emergency management and others as well. And then tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, my newly appointed position on the seat board will have our second meeting, and that's a board where we are looking at the certification and training that the auditors go through. That has been quite an interesting venture for me. So I'm learning a lot about all the the different upsides of what the auditors go through as far as their certification training and things of this nature. So
outstanding.
That's about it.
Paul.
Just want to take a minute to congratulate the Nevada Girls High School basketball team on their Division 3A Division Championship last Saturday.
Very impressive, and more good things to come out of that team.
They hadn't, everybody probably read this, but they had not been to state since 1968. They had not advanced at state since 1920.
And it's a team, and I'll just point out, it's a team, I believe, with just one senior.
Correct.
They're gonna do some good things as we go. I think since we're talking about basketball, I've gotta wish, the Ames High boys good luck, tomorrow night when they play in the state tournament. You got anything else?
No, that's it.
I got three things that I want you guys just to file away because we're gonna discuss it, I think sooner rather than later. The first one is renovations at the Ames Airport, really spearheaded by the city of Ames, and Iowa State. And private donors. I believe that they, as past practice has indicated, there's going to be an ask made of this board yet this spring. Expect it. Second one, today, well, tomorrow is County Day at the State Capitol. Today is the Ames Chamber Day.
Yep.
And so while there's no such thing as a free lunch, if you want a free lunch, and I believe it's Hickory Park, head down to the Capitol as soon as we get done here and you can get one. And then final thing is, again, sooner rather than later, expect the discussions on a new county park and trail system within the new research park to ramp up. It'll be spearheaded, the conversation will be spearheaded by Mike Cox with help from Leanne Harder as we have that conversation. But, Mike, it's fair to say sooner rather than later we're going to start talking about that. And now that we're through the budget, I want you guys to have all that in front of you, because we're going to need to be moving with all due diligence in those items. Any other announcements? Anything else for us to discuss? I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.